Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning is the epistle lesson you heard read to you, and I wish to address you briefly on that, dealing with the idea of ritualism versus what God has really done for us. You know, during Lent, a lot of people use it as Weight Watchers time, give up things you really don't want to give up, go through various kinds of things that we do perhaps one season out of a year. As a matter of fact, some people seem to think, in essence, that they get the impression that the whole business of Lent, kind of a practice or a thing you go through, either you please people, and if you live in Louisiana, it's Mardi Gras time and that sort of thing, you kind of store it all up. You kind of set things going and you finish everything right before that and then you go into Lent. It's not that no one really understands what Lent is all about, but we get caught sometimes in a trap. We sometimes get caught not realizing that we go through so many rituals and don't ask ourselves why. What are we doing? Why are we doing it that way? In reading over the book of Hebrews, the writer seems to want to make clear a lot of things that used to be done by the priest, as he distinguishes the Levitical priesthood and the order of Melchizedek. Centering Christ and what he did that nobody could do, and how the Levitical priest had to keep doing things over and over and over again by God's command. We have to do that too. We have to daily repent. The sin won't go away. Not on our efforts, no. It's just there. We wake up with sin, we go to bed with sin, and were it not for God's grace, you're stuck with the stuff. And you can take the grace and mercy of God in a very kind of blah way, in such a blah way, that you figure on your knees, saying a quick prayer, going through this ritual, that, you know, that's offering God or something or another that should please Him and therefore make things better. The church rituals, in the good sense, the church year, the church seasons, the whole thing, to me has been designed really to remind us where we are in Jesus Christ. Not where we ought to be, but where we are and what God has done. When it says, and every high priest stands daily at his service offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sins, it wants to contrast where the old covenant was, in a sense that they kept doing this thing because of God's command, but in itself, without the grace of God, without the mercy of God, it didn't do anything. But you had to do it. Without God adding to that His word, His promise, without God saying, now because of your obedience, because of your love for me, now I'll give you forgiveness of sins, it became a ritual. And some treat it as the same. We may find ourselves, especially when you go home, and some have already started going home, you'll find that you're going through another ritual. You go home, you get in your car, go home, and you go through the various services, whether you like to go or not. You're a seminarian, you have to go to church during Holy Week. How could you not go? I also say, what do they teach you in that seminary? You'll go through that and you'll kind of crescendo up to Easter, and some won't crescendo. Some will say, oh no, not another hard-boiled egg. Not Peter Cottontail again. And these rituals are, someone will put on you a check or this, that, and other to buy some new clothes. That's the best way to celebrate Easter. New clothes, Easter eggs, and whatever. There are good meanings to those things, but you can lose sight of them if you don't go back to Jesus Christ. And I like this part of the text that really makes it impact on me. That Christ did His suffering and gave Himself once and for all sin. I have to think about that a lot because, you know, I'm a human being and I tend to think that Christ may have saved me from my sins up to yesterday, and maybe I'm not too sure about the day. if my old man really gets on my case, he'll make me feel that today is not a good day. And I have to go back to God's word that says, hey, wait a minute. What are you thinking? What are you doing? Are you going through your way of living merely to say to God, I wish you would grace me. I wish you would love me. I wish you would bring me that goody that I keep hearing about in the word of God somewhere. Or are you really into it, knowing about the priesthood that Christ himself established that has already done this? Can you realize that even when you take an exam, or when you get in your car, or when you have a near miss, or when you have a tragedy, or whatever happens, you're experiencing God in you, around you, and taking care of you? That we don't go through just rituals. But what Christ has done, he has taken away sin once and for all. I'd like to read a little section from the 9th chapter, which I like particularly. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites. But the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered, not into a sanctuary made with hands, a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters into the holy place yearly with blood not of his own. But then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And the writer kind of says, hey, wait a minute. What kind of priesthood are you thinking of? And think in terms of the scripture saying the priesthood of all believers. Think of the fact that we are in Christ priests. But what kind of priesthood are you following? The Levitical one, where you do it yourself. Where no matter how you go through a ritual, you're still right back where you started. It's like Monopoly. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 or go to jail. Doesn't do too much. But if you're of the priesthood of Christ, the holy priesthood, the real priesthood, you can tack on to him by faith. And you know that you don't have to guess whether your sins are forgiven. You don't have to wonder if your sins are forgiven. You know they are, because that's God's promise. That's God's promise. That's God's word. To me, that gives a lot of comfort. To me, I find it very uplifting to do like the woman who only wants to touch the hem of his garment, knowing that by even touching that, she'd be okay, even if she was a reject in her own mind. But when you touch the garment, when you have the faith that God alone gives to reach out and grab, then you have the right priesthood. You're not playing ritualistic games. Then you're really understanding the essence of what God has done. When you go for your vacation, I hope that you go through not rituals of the wrong order, things that don't amount to a hill of beans, but that you act out sanctification. You act out your love for Christ in whatever you do, knowing that those sins that we pile up every day have been taken away in Jesus Christ, and your faith appropriates you that forgiveness of sins ongoingly, not just at certain times of the day, but all the time. You are in Christ. And when you part this campus, and even while you're on this campus, those who are not going anywhere, live that new priesthood. Let's celebrate Easter in a real unique way, knowing our sins are so forgiven, they're just not there to bother with. Not to damn us. God has taken them away. Let's live like those of the new order. Let's live like those who don't just go through motions, but rejoice in showing God love in every way we can. May God grant that not only will you have a good break, but whatever you do, do all to the love, glory, and honor of Jesus Christ. Amen.